That was music from a collection of pieces called The Book of Goddesses by composer Robert Patterson, performed here live in our studio on Live and Local by the Archaea Tree Ensemble. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks very much for joining us for the program today. It's your connection to local performances. And this ensemble will be performing Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. And they're pretty new together. They've been together, at least in this incarnation, for about a year. And they consist of harpist Aaron Brooker, flutist Jennifer Shanahan, and percussionist Andy Miller. And I want to say thanks to all three of you for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks, Aaron, for letting me know about the group. Did I say the name right, by the way?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, the Archaea Tree Ensemble.
Yeah, where do you come up with that name? Archaea Tree.
All right.
Because you kind of started the group, right? Or at least it was your idea.
Last year, I kind of had the idea, being out of school, having a master's, and spent a year studying abroad in Colombia, South America. I was back in the area, teaching and doing some other types of freelance work, and was looking for an outlet to play contemporary chamber music that I was interested in. I had a very open mind at the time for the instrumentation. It wasn't set or anything. But I found Aaron and Jennifer to play, and we performed a concert at the Indigo Art Co-op. Yeah, Art Co-op. And at that time, well, we had a performance. We needed a name. So I did some searching. I was kind of interested in some concepts of biology at the time and came across this term archaea. So it actually refers to one of the three single-celled organisms in the evolutionary building blocks of life. You might remember eukaryotes and prokaryotes from high school biology class, but archaea is another form of these single-celled organisms. It actually has a history here in Urbana. The professor and biologist Carl Woese discovered archaea in 1977. So it has some local ties as well, being formed here. We thought it was a fitting name. It also kind of encaptures a philosophy. We have the idea of each member of the ensemble being independent and a full musician in ourselves, but when we come together, kind of through the symbolism of a tree, a thing that unifies many parts, roots it in community, and is a place for us to grow together. We can carry that duality of singularity and then plurality together. So we like the name Archaea Tree Ensemble.
I like the name too. I'm just trying to, I mean, you said it seemed fitting, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it as a musical ensemble. But then, you know, if you look at the world of rock and pop music, there's so many band names, and you wonder how they came up with those and what have they got to do with anything. But this is better than most of those as far as that goes, with having a certain logic to it. Now, I've read in a couple of different places that you describe the group as a collective or a network. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's always been three people.
We've actually included four or more people. In our first concert, we actually included a percussionist, a sound designer, and dance musician, Jeff Zahos, to include when we played the Lou Harrison First Concerto for flute and two percussion. So the idea began as more of a collective. And based on that idea, I kind of was able to do a side project under the name Archaea Collective as well, with four choreographers. Master students at the University of Illinois here. We did a choreography in Colombia, South America, this last summer. And so with them, I did a lot of composition and performance. So I wanted this idea, the Archaea Collective, the Archaea Tree Ensemble, to be flexible to incorporate more musicians, but also to start working with dance. Since then, we've been crystallizing a little bit more into this format as a trio, which is the project we're pursuing right now. But we also want to leave that possibility open.
And it also leaves the possibility that we can split up within the group and just do duets or do solos or other things like that, but all perform under the same group title.
And I assume there'll be plenty of other opportunities where if you wanted to just add a player or two to this ensemble, to this instrumentation, or to some part of this instrumentation, then you can do that as the occasion.
Yeah, and that's actually just in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be rehearsing another piece that goes along with that, where we're adding a cellist. So it's called The Perilous Chapel, also by Lou Harrison. So that'll be another one where we're tagging on another person.
The Perilous Chapel.
Yeah.
We have some great names going on here for musical groups or pieces of music. So the piece you just sampled, The Book of Goddesses, it does not sound like the name of a piece of music. It sounds like the name of a book. And in fact, it is the name of a book, which is by, and I just, oh, here, Chris Waldhair is her name. Oh, you have a copy of it. Oh, wonderful. I've seen, actually, we put up on our website a link to her webpage, since, you know, I can't really include any of her artwork without getting permission, which I didn't do. So you can just go to her website and look at it. You can look at some of the artwork that's in this book. You can certainly look at a lot of other work that she's done, read some of her writing. But this came out, I think, in 96, maybe, the book. And I don't know when the piece was written. Do you know?
The piece was written in, I think he started it in 2011.
So it was very new then.
2010. And then they premiered it in 2011.
And it was written for either someone or a group called
Maya?
Yeah,
it was written for a group, the Maya Trio, which is based in New York. And right. they commissioned the piece with funding by the New York State Council on the Arts.
So the idea, I mean, I haven't seen the book, but I've heard the principles of the book, that at least she has not photos of goddesses. You can't have a photo of a goddess, I don't think. It's probably not, they're not photographable, sort of like vampires, I guess. But images of, paintings of, and some sort of text about, what, dozens of them? From around the world?
Oh, there's hundreds of
them
in the book. She originally did a book that I think has 20. And then this newer version, which the composer Robert Patterson drew on, has over 100, I believe, which was like an anniversary book that she did and included more of her paintings. The music that we're playing, it draws from 9 of the goddesses within the anniversary book.
So the piece, the music, the Book of Goddesses, is those 9 portraits, so to speak, or musical illustrations.
Yeah.
And he chooses some from various places in the world. What's the idea of the goddess as represented in the book? There's a subtitle to this book. I've forgotten it.
The subtitle of the book is A Celebration of the Divine Feminine. So, it kind of celebrates goddesses representative of cultures from around the world, their various qualities, and...
Yeah, the book gives, like, a lot of mythical history it gives descriptions of how people in these various cultures, like, worship them. So the book even includes some prayers if they're applicable or a lot of other things. But it's a lot of just, like, it's a goddess of this, and this is an interesting tale about this goddess, and here's my illustration of it. It's a really interesting book, actually.
And what's your sense of how was it that Robert Patterson got inspired to write music, you know, to somehow portray...
Having not had a personal conversation with him thus far, I think this summer I'm going to get a chance at the Atlantic Music Festival, where he's going to be a resident faculty. He writes that he was inspired just by the beautiful, lavishly illustrated book that he saw, and he decided to, rather than focus on one goddess of a particular culture, he wants to highlight a few that seem to evoke something either musical, dance-related, or sensual. So in that sense, I think he drew on goddesses from that represented those things, and specifically in this piece draws on cultures and styles from India, China, Greece, Ireland, North America, Nigeria, and Cuba.
So that's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Who gets doubled up?
I think that
Greece has 2.
Yeah.
Greece has. Well, that seems appropriate somehow.
Yeah,
right.
It fits in there. Yeah.
Yeah, somehow it fits. So what was the one we heard first? What did we start with?
The first one was the Indian goddess Sarasvati.
And does that in fact begin the piece?
Yes. Yes, so this is the opening of the entire movement. Although Robert Patterson does notate that if you wish to do the movements in different orders, you're allowed to.
That's okay.
But I think it's a good opening.
Yeah. And I think we could hear that at least eventually there was a pretty clear Indian musical influence once you brought in. What kind of drum is that?
This is actually the funny exception. As you see, I have a lot of instruments here. And little by little, I've been purchasing my own little collection of instruments. The one instrument he actually calls for in this piece is the Indian clay pot instrument, the gatam. Unfortunately, I don't own one of those yet, so I chose a suiting and very similar substitute instrument that sounded similar. So I actually used a dumbek, which is more of a Middle Eastern influence thing, but I tried to approach it with a style from what I'd heard that you would on the gatam.
Okay.
The other instruments I actually are culturally appropriate for all the rest.
They are culturally
yes.
appropriate.
That's the only one that's not.
Well, it's pretty close. It's still a drum, and and it's the right rhythm, and it's not that far off. I was thinking not that far off a tabla.
Very true.
Sort of a bright sound to it. I'm talking with members of the Archaea Tree Ensemble who are going to be performing this entire work, The Book of Goddesses by Robert Patterson, Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. It'll be a free program, about an hour, and you'll be showing or projecting the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Are they drawings or paintings?
They are illustrations. Colored illustrations. So
okay.
I think a color pencil.
So we'll just stick with illustrations.
We will be, hopefully there's a few more things to work out, but hopefully we will be able to present projections with the illustrations and everything, provided that the space and the light pollution works out, that you can see them crisply and clearly. That's our hope.
Did you say light pollution?
Yeah, I know. In the room, just being able, having it be a midday concert, you know, on a sunny day, projections might not cut through the best.
But. Okay, well, we certainly hope so, because they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Which goddess would you like to represent next?
I think we're going to do Ji Wang Mu.
Who is that?
She's a Chinese goddess. And hers is really funny because I guess historically she started out as being this goddess of like plague and sorrow. And over time in China has come to actually represent eternal life and like fertility and all of these actually like really beautiful, wonderful things. And she has this enchanted garden, and she grows peaches. And apparently, if you're so lucky to eat one, you can live for 3,000 years.
Does anyone really want to do that?
I don't know.
Not sure.
Sounds kind of scary to me.
I'm staying away from those peaches. Okay, the Archaea Tree Ensemble live on Live and Local. Thank you. Shi Wang Mu, the name of the goddess and of that movement from The Book of Goddesses by Robert Patterson, played by two of the three members of the Archaea Tree Ensemble, harpist Aaron Brooker and flutist Jennifer Shanahan. And I see, Aaron, that your harp is supposed to represent an ancient Chinese harp called the Kong Hu.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen one of these?
Yes, I have. Actually, 2 years ago, I believe, we had a harpist come, and they actually played one over at the Spurlock Museum. So I was very up close and personal with one just a couple years ago.
Yeah, Spurlock Museum on the campus of the University of Illinois, which is where WILL is located and where you all met, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I know Jennifer, a recent graduate.
Yes.
And have you graduated yet?
Yeah, just this year.
You did. And mm-hmm. Aaron, Andy. Andy is not Aaron. Aaron is Andy. Andy is Andy, sorry. I'm looking at Andy and saying Aaron. But understandable, because they're kind of intertwined, I understand. And they both have dreadlocks, by the way. I don't know that I've encountered any classical group, if we can call this a classical group, and I assume we can somewhat, with somebody with dreadlocks. And there's two of you, so there you go. Yeah. Neither here nor there. Andy, you've actually got what degree from here?
I graduated with a master's in percussion performance in 2011.
And now teaching at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais.
Yes, that's true. The last 2 years have been a great time teaching there. And I will be doing that again this next year, even though I'll be moving to Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, you will?
Yes.
Okay. And all right. Well, I guess these things can work out.
Yes.
And Jennifer, you found your way to California for some reason.
Yeah. At the end of last summer, I ended up getting offered a scholarship to attend USC, University of Southern California, to study with Jim Walker. So I'm doing a performance certificate there now.
And playing with various kinds of groups, including indie rock bands, did I read?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think the album's coming out later this year. I recorded flute tracks on a singer-songwriter's debut rock album, which is so LA.
Does that represent the sort of variety you hope to be musically involved with over time, or is it just
definitely
one-off?
I think it's silly as a musician to close yourself off to anything, and especially when you're young and you're trying to get gigs. Like, I'll take anything if they'll pay me to play. But it opens up your playing in a whole different way if you explore other genres. So I'm definitely open to doing a lot of different things.
And what made you choose this piece, aside from the fact that it happens to be for your instrumentation, or is that mainly it, the Book of Goddesses?
Well, that's part of it, of course, because flute, harp, and percussion isn't an extremely common instrumentation. How did we hear about this? I don't remember.
Well, I think our interest in it comes from our dual interest in folkloric musics or traditional musics of cultures around the world. Like I mentioned, I spent a year in Colombia, South America, studying Afro-Colombian music on the Pacific and Atlantic coasts, and also was able to study with master drummer Bolo Caraconde when he was African drummer, when he was living here and teaching here at the University of Illinois. So my interest in that makes this a prime piece to explore non-Western percussion instruments. Likewise, Aaron has...
I have background in the Irish harp tradition, so...
You've played Irish harp in this room,
mm-hmm.
haven't you?
Yeah, a couple years ago I did the Irish harp thing in here, so it's kind of fun to play the big one in here, too. So definitely our ideas of, like, wanting to play more cultural and world music went into the piece. And it's really fun music, and it's exciting because it's still classical music in its essence, but it has this cultural flair. So I think it makes it really audience friendly, but it's still also like very complex music.
Well, I have a note here from the composer Robert Patterson in which he says that he is attempting to, quote, fuse my own sound world with the music of each culture, unquote. Well, I'll continue here. He says, I treat myself as someone outside looking in, more as an observer than a master of each musical style. And so he's not trying deliberately to duplicate that particular type of harp that we heard, or whatever sort of Chinese flute might be involved here, or some other instrument. But certainly, it seems clear to me, evoke those at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And do you know other pieces of his? Is this similar in sound to some of his other music or not?
I think it's it definitely is going to have marks of his characteristic style. But I think it is probably one of the most influenced by folkloric musics in his music. I know he's known for his choral music, as well as he's just written a flute and harp duo for
our former teachers are premiering.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah, so. That's called Pegasus.
Pegasus,
think, right?
Yeah. So kind of drawing, which also still on the Greek mythology.
The Greek mythology thing. Maybe he's on a kick.
So that's the Alethea duo. I think they call themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are doing that, I think, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, very
soon.
So,
yeah, they actually just got a piece. It's really cool. On his website, we have a picture of, because he put our performances on there, and there's a picture of us, and then right underneath is a picture of Dr. Ann Young and Professor Keeble. So,
yeah. Ann Young teaches the harp, and then Jonathan Keeble teaches flute, both of them at the School of Music at the University of Illinois. Well, this is Live and Local, where we have the Archaea Tree Ensemble live in our studio playing music from Robert Patterson's The Book of Goddesses. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Are we going to continue with The Book of Goddesses? I know we talked at some point about doing some other things, but this is it's such beautiful music. I'm really enjoying
it
a lot.
And it's nice to go around the world.
Well, and I read that there are 9 movements, and they're all basically 4 minutes each, or pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. So he's giving all the goddesses equal time.
No goddess is
very ecumenical.
Well, I suspect it's an act of self-preservation, so none of them comes after him.
As
goddesses have been known to do.
Scary goddesses that maybe we'll get to later.
So who is the goddess we've got next, and from where?
Aphrodite from Greece, or the Romans later named her Venus. I think she's probably, maybe I'm assuming too much, but I think she's probably one of the more popular goddesses just in our own culture in terms of learning about her in Greek mythology in high school and everything. But yeah, I mean, she's an interesting lady. This is a pretty feisty movement. There's all the passion of romantic love, but yeah, there's definitely some, there's a kick in here.
Well, somehow it doesn't seem surprising. I was looking for some sort of photo of a representation of Venus or Aphrodite to put up on our website, and every one of them, she's naked. So,
well, it's actually
I wasn't sure I could do that.
Our halfway through the piece, we get to this marking, and it's voluptuous and darkly erotic.
Well, there we go.
So it's definitely evoking her
sensuality. Yeah.
Sensuality. The Archaea Tree Ensemble playing music by Robert Patterson from his The Book of Goddesses on Live and Local. Aphrodite from the Book of Goddesses by Robert Patterson, played live on Live and Local by the Archaea Tree Ensemble, who are harpist Aaron Brooker, flutist Jennifer Shanahan, and percussionist Andy Miller. They're based in Champaign-Urbana, although Jennifer's in California. I mean, I guess the hub is Champaign-Urbana, we'd have to say at this point.
No, yeah.
Because, Andy, you said you're off to Bloomington, Indiana. So how does this, what kind of challenges does this present for your getting together as a group?
It's going to present a lot, I think. But I think we're going to make our projects, I guess we're going to make it a project-based ensemble at this point. We're currently in a week-long intensive of rehearsals as we prepare for the Fresh Ink Ensemble, which will Fresh Ink Festival, which we'll be attending next week in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We were able to get together, and I mean, I think 3 days ago was the first time we played this music all together with Jennifer, Jen on flutes. So. We're very happy with how we're developing, even within short amounts of time.
Because just to clarify that a little bit, you have had another flutist in the past. So
yes.
Jennifer
is a... that too, Jen and I played together for an entire year, the year before last. So we've played a lot together. Andy and I have done a lot together this past year. So really it's kind of pretty natural for the three of us to come together and play.
Right.
Every time we get back together, it's pretty easy to pick it up again.
Well, you sound like you seem to have a great synchronicity,
good.
If that is an appropriate word, and have a good feel for each other, and certainly for this music. This is a new piece to me, so I'm really enjoying listening to it. And I'm sure listeners and viewers will enjoy it if you have a chance to go see them live on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. It's free, so why not? It'll be over in about an hour. You get to see, hopefully, if the technical details work out fine, you'll get to see the illustrations by Chris Waldhair that inspired Robert Patterson to write this piece. It comes from her book of the same name, The Book of Goddesses, and there's many, many, many more goddesses represented in that book. You can check out her website. If you go to our website for Live and Local at wyll.illinois.edu, I've put up a link there, or you can just Google her. It's K-R-I-S Waldhair, W-A-L-D-H-E-R-R. I assume that's how she spells it, or pronounces it, more or less. You mentioned this Fresh Ink Festival, in which you're going to be an ensemble in residence.
Yeah.
What does that mean, or what will that mean, or do you know exactly?
Well, this festival is put on by Chicago-based ensemble, the Fifth House Ensemble. They were on a recent tour of residencies and workshops at different universities throughout the country. They made a stop here in Urbana-Champaign. So Aaron was able to engage in a number of the different workshops they did. I was able to attend a few, and that's where we heard about this festival. We were impressed with not just like their musicality, but what they brought to the table in terms of what it means to be a classical music ensemble today and in the economy we're in. So I think they're trying to, half the festival is rehearsing and coaching and performing new pieces as well as standards of the classical repertoire, as well as training young ensembles and players in ideas of music business, some of the details of what it means to play together, to make this a more full-time thing for us, you know, if it's our passion. And it kind of helps us with that. We come away with headshots and we work on artistic statements. So we should be coming away from this with a press packet and ready to go out and find some performances around this area. So, and in the Midwest and other areas. So we're excited about that. And that takes place in Kenosha, Wisconsin, based on the campus of the University of Wisconsin Parkside.
So I assume that means that soon we'll be able to find a website for the Archaea Tree Ensemble.
Exactly.
I found Andy has a website. I found that, and you can find a little bit of information on it. Although you know we're telling you most of the information there is on the Archaea Tree Ensemble because you are so new, I was going to say so young, which also happens to be true, but also such a new group. And are you working now actively on either commissioning or at least finding new pieces for this combination of instruments, flute, harp, percussion?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Andy's definitely been great in bringing us a lot of new pieces. And I know this year, Aaron and Andy were working on getting maybe some composition faculty from University of Illinois to consider writing for us. And we've also talked about writing some of our own music and doing a lot of stuff like that. So we have a lot in the works.
Do you do that? I mean, do any of you actually write music?
I've written music for dance, for contemporary dance, which sometimes I feel a little separately than presenting a piece solely for the music is the sole thing. I feel like that's a different beast, but
a little more exposed.
exactly.
There's no clumping feet covering.
Right. I know Jenna's.
Yeah, I write a lot of my own songs and stuff. So we've been talking about maybe adding some voice over some things and just exploring all the different types of music that we want to explore. I think that's our main goal as an ensemble.
And the other thing too is I wrote my first piece of music when I was 11, I think, but I haven't written since. but it was like a piece that I wrote in the Irish style. So another thing that we're thinking about doing with our background with Colombian music, the djembe and African music, and my background with Irish music is doing some more arrangements of pieces that we know through those cultures. And so along with the Book of Goddesses, we'll have our own arrangements of traditional pieces. That's another thing, too.
Well, I could actually imagine. I mean, it's easy to substitute a wooden flute for the silver flute, and it's easy to substitute or even use one of your other instruments as the bawron, the Irish drum, and then you just bring your little harp, and you've got your Irish trio right there. Going on. Or just evoke those instruments with what else you've got here, so I can imagine.
I wanted to add, in terms of new pieces that we're having written for us, at this festival we'll be premiering two pieces, one by Colombian composer Fabian Beltran, and that's also for this format, and a composer, I believe, from Bowling Green State University named Andrew Norman. In addition, we have a piece ready. We're rehearsing it currently, but it's by a composition faculty at Duke University by the name of John Supko, who I met at a summer festival a few years ago. So we're excited about all the new music we'll have soon.
We also have a piece by Jason Kress, who's at he's doing a doctorate at University of Minnesota. So we have a lot of pieces, lots of music that we're trying to get to slowly, but hopefully sometime in the near future we'll have more and more pieces to perform.
Well, you picked a beautiful one in the Book of Goddesses. And since you mentioned trying to get some of the composers at the University of Illinois, I can think of two who I bet would write you some really nice pieces.
We'll talk about
I'm not going to say their names. Some other composer is going to feel slighted that Kevin Kelly didn't think of them for the Archaea Tree Ensemble. Reminding people that you can see and hear their performance of the complete Book of Goddesses by Robert Patterson Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. They're sampling from the piece on our show today here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and our program is made possible with support from the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. Which goddess will we represent next?
Next we'll be playing Yemaya, who is the Santeria goddess of the ocean. This comes out of Cuba, the Yoruba religion from Africa that was brought into Cuba and then had to be kind of syncretized under Catholic or Protestant rule at different times. Yemaya is the goddess of the ocean. Very similar to the Virgin Mary, I guess, can be the equation. The number that represents Yemaya is 7, and so the composer has decided to write this piece in 7/8, which gives twists and turns that have been challenging, but well worth it.
And we should say we have a different flute here.
I've got an alto flute.
So that's the one just lower and bigger than the standard flute.
Right.
Do you call that a soprano flute or is it just
a C flute?
A C flute. It's just a flute.
Yeah, it's just a flute.
the Archaea Tree Ensemble on Live and Local. Jennifer Shanahan on the flute, and Aaron, Andy Miller on the cajon, which is, I mean, I read that it's a Cuban instrument. Is it actually, or is it just a sort of Cuban-influenced instrument?
The cajon is an instrument that's really pretty interesting. It's found, today all over the world. More than anything, I think it's associated with Peru, an Afro-Peruvian instrument, but I think it was probably found in many areas around the Caribbean and in South America. Unfortunately, it was a result of the slave trade. As Africans were brought to the New World as slaves, they were not allowed to bring their instruments. Well, there were crates and things that they might be sitting on, and they began to play their music on those crates. So today, you'll find still a whole style of music that's been created in Peru, in Afro-Peruvian music, that uses the cajon. Oddly enough, you might see it and think, oh, that's an instrument from Spain, because it's played primarily with flamenco music these days.
Oh, right.
And that actually didn't come about until the famous Spanish guitarist Paco de Lucía was touring the world. He was in Peru, and he liked what one of the percussionists was doing. He had him bring the box over, and they played the concert that way. And he kind of made the statement that it was the perfect instrument representation of the traditional stomps and hand claps that belong to flamenco music. So it was brought back to Spain, and they've been playing it there ever since. It's really taken off all over the world now.
Well, it's interesting. Interesting to me anyway, the first time I ever saw or heard of a cajon was played by a group, a guy named Reggie. What's Reggie's last name? I just forget. But his group is called Black Magic Johnson, and they're a blues band. Mm-hmm. And he came in and brought that instead of his small drum kit because it was a whole lot easier and cheaper. And for those of you who haven't seen a cajon, Andy's actually been sitting on it the whole time. It's just a box. It's a kind of a rectangular cubish box. Mm-hmm. And inside are vibrating, sometimes they're cello strings, sometimes they're other sorts of strings. What's in yours?
Actually, this model doesn't really have any strings in it.
Yeah, I haven't heard any vibrations.
But the screws at the very top of the playing surface are a little loose so that the wood can get a little bit of a clap in there. And that's how they would traditionally play it in Peru. They've since added, guitar strings or even snare drum wires to it. I actually made this cajon here in Urbana, and it seems to work out well, but the challenge of the guitar string thing and getting that to speak was a little too much for me. But I like the kind of the purity of the box sound myself.
Yeah, and so that was from The Book of Goddesses, music by Robert Patterson, and that represented the goddess Yumaya from Cuba, or Santerian, you said.
Santeria, yeah.
Santeria.
The religion.
Which
Santeria.
Is particular. And in turn, Robert Patterson's piece of music of nine movements is inspired by the Book of Goddesses by Chris I'm trying to say it in German. I'm just going to guess she Americanizes Waldherr, Chris Waldherr, her book called The Book of Goddesses. The Archaea Tree Ensemble will perform the complete work Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. What, Andy, what compelled you to try to put a group like this together in the first place?
I guess out of necessity, in a way. I was involved in teaching a lot at that point in time. Again, I had been, graduated from the University of Illinois. I was just really looking for a satisfying musical outlet to play music I was passionate about, I was interested in. Now, what led me to harp and flute specifically? Well, Erin is my girlfriend, so obviously there's a closeness there. And, when two classical musicians play percussion and harp, well, okay, let's try something out, So I figured I should include harp.
Or else.
And by extension, Erin and Jen are really... had been in a duo and really, best,
really,
really, really close friends. So it kind of just naturally came together. We were around each other. We liked each other. We liked playing music with each other. So it was very natural. But it came out of an urge to be performing, playing music I was interested in.
Well, it seems like a wonderful combination, really, because the harp, of course, has got to be one of the most gorgeous instruments ever made. But it's got an interesting combination of melodic qualities and percussive qualities. Mm-hmm. And then the flute is almost exclusively melodic. I mean, you can do percussive things with
right.
it, of course. And then there's percussion. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like a brilliant combination of instruments, and Robert Patterson has done such wonderful things with it. Initially, I was thinking, as you were talking, Andy, that maybe, you're looking for a way to play, but also with sort of a portable ensemble. But then I thought, but wait, you picked the harp.
Yeah, it's actually our instrumentation. Although it's like really great and I really love everything we can do with it, it is a logistical nightmare for sure. Like we always have to drive two cars. And then, of course, anytime we want the big percussion instruments, the marimba, the vibraphone, any of that, it gets really complicated.
Well, and then you had told me that Andy doesn't own some of these instruments.
Right. So. Exactly. When you get into the mallet keyboard instruments, larger, you know, vibraphone and marimba, obviously you're talking about a lot of investment, and I don't have those yet. But that makes this the perfect piece in terms of portability. You know, it's an evening length work, focus on one piece, show up, play a performance. I can travel with it. It's really a great combination.
Well, you said you're going to be creating a business model at the Fresh Ink Festival next week. So there's your marimba right there.
There you go.
They'll tell you how to make all kinds of money. And you'll be able to get those big instruments.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break here for a moment and tell our listeners some of the other events they can see and hear live over our listening area this weekend. There's a lot of things going on of some variety, so I'll pick and choose a little bit. The Allerton Irish Fest is happening tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, with first the Spud Hunters and then the Shanties at Allerton Park in Monticello. Again, that starts at 6 o'clock. The Aduki Quartet play jazz. They'll be at the Main Street Bar and Grill in Bloomington tonight at 7 o'clock. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana is presenting the Stephen Sondheim Review, Putting It Together, tonight through Sunday at 8 o'clock, and then that'll continue for a couple weeks as well. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting 42nd Street tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 4 and 8, and then Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Jenny Campbell is at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester this evening at 7 o'clock. Candy Foster and Shades of Blue are playing at Alto Vineyards in Champaign this evening at 6:30. It's the weekly Friday Night Live in downtown Champaign. A number of street performances going on sometimes simultaneously. That starts at 6 o'clock and will continue to 8. The New Riders of the Golden Maze are playing in about 35 minutes at Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood, outside Oakwood. Dan Hubbard and the Humidors are at Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night at 7. It's the Kevin Hart Trio at Baxter's American Grill in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Dodie and Fraser are at Huber's in Champaign tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's Puppet Palooza, presented by Puppet Folk Productions at Market Street Theater in Paxton tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. And music, it's Tom Irwin, singer-songwriter. I don't understand the rest of this note here. But Tom Irwin, singer-songwriter, will be at the Dana Thomas House in Springfield Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And the Heartland Jazz Orchestra is at the Connie Link Amphitheater in Normal Sunday afternoon at 3:30. There's more going on, but that's what we'll say is what we have time for right now. And I think we have time for one more movement. I'll just do my last little bit of business here and say that you're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. The Archaea Tree Ensemble are harpist Aaron Brooker, flutist Jennifer Shanahan, and Andy Miller on percussion. They'll be at the Champaign Public Library Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Which goddess do we close with?
We will end with the Muses, the 9 Muses that inspire creativity, music, and
poetry,
sciences, poetry.
Harp.
Oh, the whole list of them.
One of them plays the harp, or plays the lute. One of them plays the flute. It's great.
All right, perfect.
Lute and flute. Lute and flute. Thank you.
Thank you.